Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Oh, thank you, Father, for making this possible. Thank you for giving us wisdom, discernment, opening our ears to hear and our eyes to see. Thank you, Father. Amen. We're going to continue today with Walk in Heavenly Places by Faith, number 4. Okay, we're going to call this first revelation, Woolly Sheep. This was given to Samuel Fire, 2:16-23. I saw a sheep with very long wool. He was very proud of his wool and was showing it off to other sheep. The other sheep said to him that there is no good use for the long wool, and it only has negative aspects for sheep. I then saw a shepherd preparing to shear the wool off, a long white wool sheep. This sheep was squirming and kicking and making noise, but after the wool was removed, the sheep jumped up and just walked around as though nothing was wrong. With the excess wool cut off, the heat and the relief were almost instant. The sheep was much happier now that the wool had been removed. Well, Romans 8:17-19 says, And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be all also glorified with him. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed to usward. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the revealing of the sons of God. Well, it's obvious now that the wool represented the outer man that was decaying, so that the inner man could be seen. And the outer man is the flesh, and the wool is the flesh. People don't like to lose their flesh, but when they do, they feel so much better. Then I realized how that the long wool represents our flesh and self that needs to be cut off. As a sheep cannot cut off the excess wool themselves, nor can we die to self without the help and direction of the Lord. Also, like how the sheep did not enjoy the wool shearing, it's just the same as it is with our adjustments and procrastination in adhering to the Lord and being obedient, because being obedient is your cross in the midst of troubles and tribulations, right? It takes until we realize after that the Lord has a perfect plan for all of us. Philippians 3:8. Yea, verily, and I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse, that I may gain Christ. So the wool is of use for the shepherd. It's of use to be cut off, right? But not for the sheep. It burdens us down. It puts us under pressure, so on and so forth. So our lives are for Christ, not for ourselves. And we are here to die. We are here to lose our life. Okay. This one is called Leave the Old Man Behind, Reynaldo Portella. In a dream, I was in my grandmother's house, and a woman with a baby needed a ride, so I helped her. Well, the grandmother's house probably represents the original old gospel, and we are here to help the woman, which is the church, in the wilderness journey to bring forth the fruit of Christ, the baby, right? Jude 3, Beloved, while I was giving all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. In other words, we're supposed to have that faith back there that was first given unto us. It was an eternal covenant. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. So therefore, you must go back to it. Religion is a waste of time. Also, Revelation 12, 1 and 2 says, And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she crieth out, travailing in birth and in pain to be delivered. And the woman fled into the wilderness. That's down in verse 6. Where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. Okay, when we arrived at the woman's destination, that's the wilderness tribulation, we saw a tall, very dark man. I couldn't see his face. He was like a shadow and very tall, like 15 or 20 feet. Well, the dark man probably represents the old man who walks in darkness and in the ways of the world. The flesh seems like a giant to conquer, but we are assured by faith that we can conquer the enemy of our souls. We believe Jesus already accomplished this for us. Amen. And Matthew 4 and 16 says, The people that sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them that sat in the region and shadow of death, to them did light spring up. In John 8 and 12, Again therefore Jesus spoke unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. By the way, put the word of God in your heart and you'll have the light of life, right? You just walk according to your carnal mind, and you will miss out on a lot and may miss heaven itself. John 12 and 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me may not abide in the darkness. He said, come with me, that this big tall man, dark man, come with me. Maybe if I go with you, he will forget me. In other words, if we walk after the flesh, we must die. Now, the flesh wants you to forget it. Don't worry about it. Don't crucify it. And so on. I said, no, I don't want to go. I'm afraid. He said, come with me. So I went with him. And I remember it was a beautiful flat land with grass and a little house in the middle. I believe the small house represents losing the flesh, right? The tall man came off the bus with me, shouting, please, as in, forget me. get your mind off of the flesh. We know it's an enemy, but get your mind off of the flesh, right? So this means, let me live, right? Let me live. Again, he said, please forget me. Nobody opened the door, so he said, I don't need you. And he departed and left me there. Well, when we don't feed the flesh by walking with it, it will grow weak and die. And when we resist the devil, he will flee. Amen? Well, after he left, Jesus opened the door, and he was dressed in very bright white clothes. So instead of the old man there, you traded him in for Jesus. And he told me, I'll always love you. And I felt so safe with him, I stayed. So we're to forget the old man and the past life and continue in our crucified walk with Jesus, right? But not forget it the way he wants you to forget it. He wants you to forget he's around and don't think about that. That's not a problem, you know. But we're here to die. And that's what he doesn't like about this, right? Galatians 2 and 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. This is our faith, and this is how it works. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Amen. So we call this next revelation here, Fight Together. Sandy Shaw, 8:5:15. They thought they got rid of Sandy, but nope. You can see she's still around doing her job. Man, those devils did everything they could to take her out, right? So this is a parable of the brethren learning to fight together against the enemy and finding out that they have total authority through the Word of God. I had a dream where I was an observer of a big battlefield with a war going on. It was so noisy that I couldn't hear anyone talk. People had to shout. I heard cannons and grenades going off and a lot of rapid gunfire. Flaming arrows were being shot, probably indicating the fiery darts of the evil one fired into our thought life that has to be quenched. And this is also the words and actions of his duped vessels of dishonor. The zombie apocalypse is real. Yes, we have seen the walking dead who claim to be Christians but walk in all sin and war with witchcraft against their brothers and are as Esau who sold his birthright. Yes. And then I heard, man down, man down. Someone was shouting. In other words, somebody was wounded in the battle, right? I then looked to my left and saw a body on the ground. And running to the body from the right side was Greg. I then noticed it was Brandy who was down. And Greg put his hands on his chest and started praying in tongues and commanded Brandy to get up. And Brandy started moaning and groaning and didn't open his eyes. Then I heard another voice saying, get off of me. I said, get off me, recognizing spiritual attacks and realizing that authority must be taken over the enemy, right? And I recognized that voice was Bill's. Greg ran to Bill, who was holding his left leg, and he put his hand on the injured leg and said, get up, brother, you are healed. 1 Peter 2:24. By whose stripes? You were healed. It's beyond the point of you have to talk God into it. It's done. You were healed. They both ran back to Brandy and laid hands on him and prayed in the Spirit. Matthew 18 and 19. Again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. So, more fiery arrows were trying to hit Brandy because he was the target. Then Greg and Bill commanded off, off, off as they used their hands like shields to block the arrows. Ephesians 6 and 13. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and to having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, withal taking up the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. You have to have that. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take it. Take it. 2 Corinthians 10 and 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to casting down of strongholds. That's strongholds of the enemy. Many times are in your mind, right? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now that's the cross, right? Bill said, "Come on, Brandy, open your eyes so you can see what God is doing." Well, this was back in 2015, of course, and Brandy sees much better today than most through all the practice that he gets, you know. And he opened his eyes and got up. So we are to see Father has already given us the victory. Yeah, this is what you have to see. 2 Peter 1 and 2. Grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And Mark 11 and 24. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them. That's what it says in the original, numerics. And you shall have them. You believe you've received it. Therefore, the trouble is over. From now on, you just don't walk by sight, you walk by faith. Now here it is, verse 3. Seeing that his divine power hath, that's past tense, granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. You need to know this. It's already been given to you. Right? Whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. And that's how you do it. You hold on to those promises, that when you look at them, you say, this hasn't happened yet. But it has, because they're all past tense. So, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. And exercising the authority of our God-given divine nature over the enemies of our soul. So, at the same time, they said, come on, let's get out of here. And Greg jumped up and shouted, no, we can't. We're in the midst of the storm. Meaning, of course, we can't run from the battle that God has ordained for us to come to the end of ourselves and conquer the enemy. Amen? Everybody wants to run from it, right? So we have the victory, and we are victorious, he shouted, with everything he had. Yes, we have the victory, and we're victorious. You need to remember that. In the midst of the trial, stand by the promises, right? 2 Corinthians 2 and 14. But thanks be unto God, who always leadeth us in triumph to celebrate the victory. That's what triumph means, celebration of the victory. Even before we see it, we celebrate it because it's promised. So in Christ, of course, to those who have faith in his word, right? And maketh manifest through us the savor of his knowledge in every place. So that's what they were doing. They were speaking out, you know, the knowledge of the victory that we have, so on. Luke 10 and 19, behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Well, there was no shaking these guys. They knew that they knew that they knew they needed each other working as one with their commander in chief. In other words, listening to the word of God, Jesus Christ, right? Then very softly in the background, I heard a song. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Sorry, I don't know the tune. You might as well get behind me, Satan, you will not prevail, for Jesus never fails. And that's who lives in you, you see, so you can do this. So we have these awesome promises in Psalm 91. Psalm 91, I'm going to start in verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. That's not automatic. That's because you believe, right? You're believing what he says, right? And verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, For the pestilence that walketh in darkness, don't be afraid. You're inviting it if you are afraid. Fear is faith in reverse, right? Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it will not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Well, obviously it will take out the wicked, and the wicked are, of course, those that don't believe. You have to believe what God says, not what religion says, or whatever, or your eyes say. And down in 13 it says, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent shalt thou trample underfoot. Okay, we call this a diet of spiritual food. Elena Timoshuk, 6:24-21. I dreamt I was at my old diet coach's house. I say old as in she's not my diet coach anymore. She's actually young age-wise. Well, we have a diet of spiritual food that we partake of by consuming the Word of God that teach or coach us of His ways, which are from of old, right? The old house. In reality, she had a baby girl about a week after I had my daughter, Abigail. In my dream, she had her 3 days before I gave birth to Abigail. Anyway, I was with her in her kitchen, and she was getting ready to leave to go with her husband somewhere. As she was going, or as she was getting ready, she grabbed a bowl and a spoon to feed her daughter, Sophia. I was so shocked because I knew Sophia was Abigail's age and couldn't be more than 3 months old, and her mom was already feeding her solids. So I asked her, are you really going to let her eat that solid food? And when was she born? She replied calmly, April the 9th. Yeah, I feed her solids all the time now. She loves it. I looked at her baby and was completely mystified. This baby looked like she was 1 year old, and she was so big. Well, I think the moral of the story is that if we come as a child, we can eat solid food when so-called grown-ups can't. Have you known people that sat in the church for 40, 50 years, you know, and they haven't grown at all? In fact, they've regressed, right? Hebrews 5:12. For when by reason of the time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not of solid food. Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for full grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. We must discern truth from error by believing all of the Word, not adding to it, not taking from it, right? After her mom finished feeding her, the baby got up and started walking. Again, I was so shocked and exclaimed to her, she can walk already? She's not even 3 months old. And her mom just kind of looked at me and at her and shrugged her shoulders like it was just so normal that this baby can walk. Well, her husband came home and grabbed the car seat with the baby and started talking to his wife in Russian. This also surprised me because he himself is an American, but she is Russian. And he was talking to her so fluently and without an accent. I thought to myself, how did he learn to speak her language so well? Well, we need to learn how to speak the language of the people of God, right? They all went to the front door and were about to leave, and I was just standing in the living room watching them, so surprised by all that I had seen. Then she turned to me with a big smile and said, well, we're leaving, so you can stay here if you want, or you can leave when you're ready. And they all went out the door. And I'm thinking, That was kind of a hint. You can leave that old life behind and all those presuppositions behind and just do what you're supposed to do, which is eat the Word of God, the good solid food, right? So we've had other dreams where the man-child will grow up and mature very quickly. Even our personal man-child, which is Christ in us, can grow quickly if we feed him the spiritual food. He's the spiritual man. He needs the spiritual food, right? All right, we call this one Crucify Him Afresh, Marie Kelton, 9/24/21. During the morning meeting at Debbie's house, I asked the Lord about sending me a husband. Even though he told me multiple times that he was my husband. Isaiah 54:5. For thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and the Holy One of Israel is thy Redeemer. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. Well, you know what? He is the husband because he sows the righteous seed that brings forth that righteous child, that born-again man on the inside, right? So the Lord gave me an open vision of him kneeling between two Roman soldiers. Jesus had cuts on him. He didn't have a shirt on, just an undergarment, and his head was hanging down, and he had a crown of thorns on his head. I was in a crowd with a bunch of others, people, looking at what was going on. I then walked up to Jesus and put my hand on his shoulder and fell to my knees. Jesus lifted his head and looked at me. His eyes held so much sadness. And I heard the words, crucifying the Son of God afresh. Then I started crying and repenting and telling the Lord that I didn't want to crucify him afresh. That comes from Hebrews 6:4-6. For as touching those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and made partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then fell away, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh. See, Jesus is coming to life in you. And you may have learned things back when about Jesus' life in you, but you departed from them. And now he's not coming to life, he's dying, you see, because you're not feeding him. And you put him to an open shame, it says. As I was looking at his eyes and holding his face, he turned into a lion with a huge mane, the Lion of Judah. And his eyes no longer held any sadness in them. Oh, that's, you know, he's about to come as a lion, and he will judge those who persecute their brothers, who end up being his chosen, by the way. The persecuted ones are the chosen, not the persecutors, right? Mm-hmm. Coming as a lion, watch out. Well, we call this one the handmaiden cannot bear the fruit of Christ. Winnie Asageta, 12/26/21. I dreamed that I really wanted to buy bread, and I was looking for somewhere to purchase it. I entered a store owned by an Orthodox Hasidic Jewish man, and I went all the way to the back of the store to get the bread, located on the left in a glass refrigerator. And when the Jewish man saw me, he said, "Get out of here." In this man's eyes, I was a Gentile and did not belong there. There were two other Jewish women there as well that seemed kind. One of the women had smiled at me when I walked in, but it was the man who rudely told me to leave. As I left the store, I walked away. I saw that one of the Jewish women left the store as well and walked down the street with me. I began to speak with her and ask her about her situation, and she seemed to be very sad. She was trapped, but wanted to be free. Well, believing in Jesus Christ is the only way of being free from religion and all bondage, which, of course, that's what the law is, right? The young Jewish woman and I entered into a public restroom, and she began to cry because she desperately desired to have children. She told me that she could not have children because she was branded an inshallah. She lowered her pants to show me where she was branded, which was below her belly button. And this is where the womb is located. She was branded all around this area, and it even went towards the back. This branding was there so that she could not have children, and so that she would be separated from the other women. Well, this branding is like a curse on her womb, spiritually speaking, and a stigma of disapproval. You know, the law cannot bring forth the fruit of Christ. And at this point, when I looked back up at her, I realized she was wearing a red cloak. Then the young Jewish woman said she needed to hold her form until she finally had a husband. Well, of course, that means that she could not become pregnant and get very big until marriage, right? Okay. So the law won't do this. It won't bring forth this fruit. That's what God is saying here. The only thing that will bring forth this fruit is to have the seed of Christ, the parable of the sower, sowed into your heart to bring forth Christ himself, because it's his seed, right? Although I am not certain what she meant, I felt sorry for her, and I desired for her to be free. I entered a cafeteria and began to tell someone else the problem that this woman was having. A cafeteria is, of course, where you get good food, right? Spiritual food, in this case. I noticed a man with very dark hair who was facing left and taking notes. Uh-oh, what's he doing there? This man was also a Jew, and I realized that he was eavesdropping so that he could report the young Jewish woman and hinder her from leaving and becoming free. Yes, indeed. The verse that came to me regarding this man was Galatians 2 and 4. And that because of the false brethren privily brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. Because it is liberty. It's liberty from the law. That they might bring us into bondage. Yes, that's true. They want to keep you under the law. But the Christ delivers you from being under the law. You fulfill the law. That's different. And you don't do it because you're under the law. You do it because of grace, because you have faith in what Jesus did, right? I woke up shortly after this, and I immediately thought of Sarah versus Hagar. I decided to look up the word that was branded on the young woman, which was inshallah. And I had never heard the word before. I found out that challah is a special bread of Ashkenazi Jewish origin, which I thought was pretty spot on regarding the dream. Okay. The word in my dream is a mixture of challah as well as inshallah, which is a phrase that Muslims use, which means if God wills. Muslims, just like Jews, are under law and religious spirits. Yes, and neither one of them can bear the fruit of Christ. Okay? Because you think it's something you have to do. You have to do to bring forth the fruit of Christ. It's something he has already done. That's the difference. So many religious people don't know and understand what the will of God is, because they are not eating the bread of life for themselves, but buying bread in the form of all kinds of books in apostate religions that do not satisfy them spiritually. Amen. I asked the Lord for a verse by faith at random and received Isaiah 55:2-3. for context. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Yeah, well, Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give, right? And so all the people that are hirelings out there, you know, they want to charge you for what they do. And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ears, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. An everlasting covenant. Some people think, this part's no good anymore. That passed away with the apostles. And this part's no good anymore. And that part. But basically, they cut out anything supernatural about Christianity. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. I thought it was amazing that I landed on verse 2 regarding spending money for that which is not bread. Yeah. And Ashkenazi bread is probably not kosher, actually, because Ashkenazi is not a physical Jew, right? So the next morning, on the morning prayer meeting, Amber received Galatians 4, and I knew the Lord was speaking to me. I don't remember the exact verse she landed on, so I will share the chapter. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law." See, if you're under the law, you need redemption. "That we might receive the adoption of sons." "Tell me, ye that..." This is verse 21, by the way. "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the handmaid, and one by the free woman. Howbeit the son of the handmaid is born after the flesh." Yes, he was. That was all their plan, their plot, their scheme. Man's works, right? They brought forth an Ishmael, right? "But the son of the free woman is born through promise." So she got a promise to bear fruit. And ultimately they believed that promise, and they bore the fruit of the promised child, which is like Christ in you, right? "Which things contain an allegory, for these women are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai," that was the law that was given to Israel, remember? "Bearing children unto bondage, which is Hagar." Now he's comparing Sinai to Hagar. Wait a minute, that doesn't, in the letter that doesn't look right. "But the Jewish law came from Sinai, but the new covenant is a better covenant based on better promises," we're told. Verse 25, "Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia." Well, in the natural, that don't seem right. "And answereth to the Jerusalem that now is." Well, look at the Jerusalem that now is. Is there anything Christian about that? Oh, no, actually, no. "For she is in bondage with her children." So the Jews are in bondage, and they're considered to be Hagars here. "So those under the law are under a covenant that no longer exists, for we were given a new covenant. And that covenant was, quote, done away in Christ." Can you read? "But the Jerusalem that is above is free, which is our mother." So, well, our mother is the heavenly Jerusalem that is born from above. That's right. Read about the Philadelphia church, the one that stood out. Actually, she represents the bride. And she was this born from above church, the new Jerusalem. And not the unregenerate Jerusalem over there that's under the law. Some people make that holy. It's not holy. "For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For more are the children of the desolate than of her that hath the husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of the promise. Ah, had to be a supernatural work there by God to bring forth that child, right? But the Ishmael, nope, that was their plan. We'll help you out, God. 29. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, so also it is now. Howbeit, what saith the scripture? Cast out the handmaid and her son, who they're now saying is natural Israel under the law, or even some people who call themselves Christians being under law. Same thing. Cast out the handmaid and her son, for the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. Tremble to go under the law. Wherefore, brethren, we are not children of the handmaid, but of the free woman. Yep, talk yourself into it. Okay, I'm just going to share a little bit on law and grace here. Galatians 3, 1 through 19. Oh, foolish Galatians, who did bewitch you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was openly set forth crucified? This only would I learn from you. Received you the Spirit by the works of law or by the hearing of faith? Now, I said that right. The works of law. The was not in there. There's no numeric pattern in it whatsoever. So in this text, I crossed through that because it's not there in the original. Because there are laws that are not the law of the old covenant that still separate people from God. They're religious rules and regulations that they put on you that have no resemblance to anything in the scripture even. Yeah, watch out for those. Or by the hearing of faith. How did you get there? By the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? No, you heard faith and you got a born-again spirit and you are a different person from that point on. It had nothing to do with the law. I used a strike through to remove the in some places in this text where it was not there in the Greek. And there's a reason for this. This is because many times man makes laws which we cannot be justified by either. Verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you are now perfected in the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if it indeed is in vain? He therefore that supplieth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law? Well, no. When Jesus came, guess what? He was the new covenant. And all the people under the law, were they having miracles? Well, no, they weren't. Doeth he it by the works of law? Thee was not there. So it could be a law of man or a law of God, but it still separates you from grace. Or so doeth he it by the works of law or by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Know therefore that they that are of faith the same are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. That's in the new born-again Abraham, right? Not the Ishmael Abraham. So then, they that are of faith are blessed with the faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of law, again, I put a strike through on thee here because it's not there in the original. They thought they were going to help God. as many as are of the works of law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. That, now, the book of the law here is being used as a type. And he's saying, okay, you want to pick out the Sabbath? Well, did you keep the Sabbath sabbatical year? Well, no. Well, then you didn't keep the Sabbath. Okay, So, yeah, we'll pick this out. We're righteous because we do this. And everybody else is wrong because they don't do this. Well, then you got to keep the rest of it. Okay? Come out from among them. You can be saved by grace, and you can go to the throne of God by grace. But by your works, you're never going to make it. So, cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Now that no man is justified by law, again, the is struck through here because it's not there. Before God is evident, for the righteous shall live by faith. And the law, now this is the law. This is supposed to be there. The is there here in this one. And the law is not of faith, but he that doeth them shall live in them. And that don't matter whether you're a Gentile having no rights to the law or whether you're a Jew that was raised up in the law that passed away in Christ. Try to keep a covenant that does not exist while you depart from the covenant that does exist. Does that make sense? No. How could we be under the curse of the law if we never knew what it said? If we never knew what it said, Romans 5 and 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. What was Adam's transgression? He knew the law. Don't partake of the fruit of the tree. That was his law. Very simple. And he broke it. So, we didn't know the law. And don't sin after Adam's transgression. And also, the law covenant wasn't made with us. It was made with the Jews. But people are guilty by their breaking their conscience. That's God's moral law is your conscience. You train it by knowing what is good and bad, right? Romans 2 and 12 says, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned under the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Okay. Verse 14, for when Gentiles that have not the law do by nature the things of the law, these not having the law are the law unto themselves. In other words, just doing what's right and not doing what's wrong, right? They have a conscience. In that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness therewith, and their thoughts one with another, accusing or else excusing them. Yeah, so obey your conscience. You have to obviously train your conscience of what's good and what's bad. You have to do that, and you have to do that with the New Testament because the Old Covenant doesn't count. Well, now, there's many moral things you can see in the Old Covenant, and as you can see, we quite often quote from the Old Covenant because there's a different relationship there, you see. So back to Galatians 3 and 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So God took our curse and put it upon Jesus. And if you believe that, you get that. That's better than trying to keep the law. Wow, is it ever? That's why it's called the good news, right? That upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet when it hath been confirmed, no one maketh it void or addeth thereto. You better not add to the word of the Lord. Right. Verse 16. Now to Abraham were the promises spoken, and to his seed. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So the promise was to Abraham and to Christ. Ooh. Now this I say, a covenant confirmed beforehand by God, the law, and that is the law there, which came 430 years after, does not, it says disannul, but you can take that dis and strike through that too, because that was Old English. It's doth not annul, so as to make the promise of none effect. So there is the Abrahamic covenant is still in effect. The law was just a temporary thing, according to the scriptures, until the seed should come to whom the promise is due. And the seed was Jesus Christ. So if the promise was to Jesus Christ, how do we get it? We abide in him. Just as all those who abided in Adam died when he died, all those who abide in Christ are alive because of his resurrection life. Yeah. Colossians 2 and 14, having blotted out the bond written in ordinances that was against us. Oh, they love that bond of ordinances. They just love to slave away. I'm good because I'm doing all this, you know, which was contrary to us, it says. And he hath taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Having despoiled the principalities and powers, because they had authority over you because you kept breaking the law you thought you were under. And he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He triumphed over the law. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a feast day or a new moon or a Sabbath day, which are a shadow of the things to come. They're just a shadow. They're not the real thing. The New Testament is the real thing. Okay? The law was to show you, you can't keep a law and you'll break it every time. And so God gave grace under the New Testament, which is a better covenant with better promises. So that was just a shadow. You think you can go back and keep the shadow and be okay with God? No. No. But the body is Christ, belongs to him. He will work in you to willing to do of his good pleasure. Galatians 3 and 18. For if the inheritance is of the law, and the is right here, it is no more of promise, but God hath granted it to Abraham by promise. What then is the law? And this is correct too. It was added because of transgressions until the seed should come to whom the promise hath been made. So the law was a meantime thing. It was meant to pass away, as we can see here clearly. And it did. Till the seed should come. That's when it passed away. Okay. To whom the promise hath been made. It was ordained through angels by the hand of a mediator. In Galatians 4 and 21, tell me ye that desire to be under the law, and that is true, do you not hear the law? And yes, the is there on that one. Galatians 5, 1 through 6, for freedom did Christ set us free. Oh, being free from the law is, wow, that's awesome. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. In other words, don't go back under the law. You Galatians, what are you doing there? Yeah? Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if you receive circumcision, Christ will profit you nothing. Yea, I testify again to every man that receiveth circumcision that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Okay, you think you're going to be justified by circumcision? You better go back and keep the rest of it too. You're severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. So there's some Christians that say they're still under the law. He said, you're severed from Christ, you that would be justified by the law. You are fallen away from grace. For we through the Spirit by faith wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision, but faith working through love. You see, God gives it freely through grace. It's unmerited, unearned. He gives it freely through grace. But you can't get it through the law. That's what he's trying to tell you. You can't do it that way, because then you're picking yourself up by your bootstraps. James 2, 17 through 26 says, even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. So when you got faith, you're going to have works, because God gives you the gift to do that. Yea, a man will say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I by my works will show thee my faith. You know, a person that gets, that knows they're healed already at the cross, they just act differently. There's no fear on them. There's no remorse on them. There's no, how am I going to get healed? Because they already know the gospel that you were healed. See, it's rest. It's peace. I'll show you my works by my faith. Okay, thou believest that God is one. Thou doest well. The demons also believe and shudder. It doesn't save them, though. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren? In other words, it won't bear the fruit of Christ. Was not Abraham our father justified by works, and that he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Thou seest that faith wrought with his works. He had faith. He said, I and the lad go to yonder mountain and shall return. And by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see that by works a man is justified, and not only by faith. And in like manner was not also Rahab the harlot justified by works, in that she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? What is he talking about here? By grace have you been saved through faith. And that is not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works. That's man's works. For in Christ Jesus were you created for good works. That's God's works through you. That's how you arrive at God's works, you see. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. So if you've got faith, it's going to show up in your actions. When you got faith, God gives you power to be an overcomer. When we act on our faith, we see miracles. Like Jesus did back there in the midst of a bunch of religious people who had none. Romans 4, 13 through 5 and 4. For not through the law, the is crossed through there because it's not in the original, was the promise to Abraham or to his seed. But, well, because Abraham didn't have the law. You couldn't put the there. He didn't have the law, right? So, and it was to his seed that he should be heir of the world through the righteousness of faith. He believed, and the seed that he brought forth spread all over the world, you know. And we are that seed when we walk by faith, and it's all over the world. That's where the kingdom is. That's where the kingdom people are. No, not them that are under the law. They're not the kingdom people. They kept on under a law that was done away, quote, in Christ. It was a meantime thing until the seed should come to whom the promise was due, which was Jesus. And now we enter into our covenant by faith in him, and we abide in him. So we're in him, keeping the law of grace, right? But through the righteousness of faith. For if they that are of the, is crossed through here, of the law are heirs, faith is made void. The promise is made of none effect. The law worketh wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there transgression. So all those rules and regulations that all had a symbolism, they were a shadow. The Sabbath was a shadow of the real Sabbath, which is every day ceasing from your works, not just one day a week. Okay, it's a shadow. If you keep the shadow, you're not getting the fulfillment of the shadow. For this cause it is of faith that it may be according to grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all of the seed, not to that only which is of the law, and that is the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made thee, before him whom he believed, even God, who giveth life to the dead, and calleth the things that are not as though they were. Were. You were healed. You were delivered. You were provided for. Were. Turn around and look at the cross. That's where it was done, right there. You're not trying to talk God into nothing. You're trying to talk yourself into something. Go back and see it was already done. Who in hope believed against hope, to the end that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which has been spoken, so shall thy seed be. And without being weakened in faith, he considered his own body now as good as dead, he being about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, looking unto the promise of God, he wavered not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Wherefore also it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Wow. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was reckoned unto him, but for our sake also, unto whom it shall be reckoned, who believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, and who was delivered up for our trespasses, and was raised for our justification. So you're justified because Jesus resurrected, and you were in him. The seed of the word was in him, which he sowed into our minds, and brought forth the fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Being therefore justified by faith, that means accounted righteous by your faith, not by your works, because you're not going to make it that way. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace, that's unmerited favor, unearned favor. You're earning it under the law, by the way. Wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we also rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh steadfastness, and steadfastness approvedness, and approvedness hope. Okay, I'm going to... I might have to cut it off there, but I need to go further. All right. Well, the Lord bless you, saints, and thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy and your grace in Jesus Christ. It's been given to you by him in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.